And let's dive in here. It is Communion Sunday, and I want to show that video, so I'm going to be watching the clock here a little bit. So let's pray. So Father, we praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for that video. Thank you, Father, for missionaries worldwide, Greater Grace and non-Greater Grace, all the missionaries that are on the field, Lord, doing your work, we pray. For Pastor Dennis, for Jane, for Ruth, for Pastor Tomash and Ava and their family, Lord. Father, all the missionaries that we support here, the Robins who are home for a season, the Armins who are partially home for a season and that work in Africa, and just Greater Grace worldwide, Lord, and all the churches going on this morning. We just praise you and we thank you. This morning, these words, Lord, write them on our heart and our minds. Soften us, Lord, to what you have for us. Speak to our hearts. Use this vessel. Use these words in each one of our lives, individually and corporately. And we just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to be in John a lot. John 11, John 4, John 10, and then we're going to bounce around a little bit. So if you want to open up your Bibles to John chapter 11, I'll be reading mostly New King James. I'm going to do a little more Bible reading this morning than I typically would. I usually hit little verses, but I'm going to do little stories this time. And I'm going to hit a little Amplified later on. But I want to start with a question. I love questions. And it's a real question. Like, it might prick your heart. It might prick your emotions and your feelings when you really contemplate and think about it. And it might even kind of challenge you a little bit. And I want to. I want the Word of God to prick my heart and challenge me. That's my own personal prayer sometimes is, Lord, move my heart, right? Because I'm far from perfect. We're all far from perfect. So here's the question. Ready? Have you ever wondered, does Jesus really care? Right? That's a pretty deep question to ask. Have you ever wondered, does Jesus really care? And I think most of us, if we were honest, we could say to ourselves, yes, right? I went through times in my life where I'm like, why, God, right? Or why are you doing this? Or what is this about? Or, you know, I'm questioning him and I'm questioning his word and I'm questioning who he is. I'm even maybe questioning the character and nature of God. And today I want to look at that for just a few moments because we're all human. And if we really are honest with ourselves, sometimes we doubt, right? Thomas doubted. He was one of the 12. And sometimes we question. And I'm going to, you know, be honest and be frank. It's okay, right? It's okay. We are human. We have a human nature. We have an old sin nature in our practical speaking, right? But as children of God, like, we are also seated in heavenly places with Christ, and that is our position, and that's who we are. But we also have to have that reality in our life where when we question things, it's not like, it's like, oh, I can't believe you're questioning. But sometimes we just need a brother or sister to come alongside of us in those moments and help us through our doubts, help us through our questions. So let's look at Jesus and let's make him a real man and a real person with real feelings for just a little while. And let's read a couple stories here. So in John chapter 11, I'm going to read 3 and 4, and then we're going to jump way down. We see the story of Jesus and we see the story of Mary, Martha, and the death of Lazarus. Now, I'm not going to read it all because there's a lot to this story. So I'm going to just read little pieces, but I encourage you, like, take notes, go home, read it all for yourself so you get a little better context and, you know, you can get a little feeling of what's going on here. And here we are, John chapter 11, starting in verse 3. Therefore, the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Right? So we kind of see some emotion and feelings here a little bit. Jesus, you love this guy, and Jesus, this guy is sick. And that's happened to all of us, right? We love somebody, and they take ill, and it really pricks our heart, doesn't it? In verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So Jesus kind of responds to them and says, okay, he's sick, but there's a reason for this, right? And sometimes we question God, why God? But we don't understand his ways, Isaiah 55, 8, 9, 10, right? His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And we may question him. And Jesus will respond and he'll say, well, we don't necessarily understand it, but it's to glorify God, right? And sometimes when we doubt or sometimes when we question, God's using those moments in our life so that we will grow with him and so that we can identify with others, right? There is a reason for those moments in our life. So now we're going to skip way down to verse 17, and we're going to read the story here. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So you can kind of start seeing the picture here. And a little bit in the story, if you read it later at home, his own disciples kind of like, Jesus, we don't want to go back there. They almost just tried to stone you. Don't go back there. The disciples were telling Jesus, don't go back. And then Jesus is like, no, I'm going. And then his disciples are like, okay, if you're going to go and they're going to stone you, we'll go with you and die with you. Like, real encouraging, right? But this is the story that it's building into. And now verse 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, and this is days have went by from the beginning to here when you read it. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now when Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, speaking of Lazarus. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. That's a pretty amazing statement, isn't it? Like, my brother's dead, Jesus. But Jesus, I trust in you, even though he's dead, that whatever it is, it's for the greater good. And that's kind of challenging, isn't it? Like, I know we go through times, we all do. I've been through them where you're like, all right, God, why is this happening? What is going on? Jesus, do you really care? Let's read on. And if you have a red letter, a lot of this is red letter. Every time Jesus responds to them and Christ is speaking, a red letter, it's in red letters, and that is the words of Christ. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Right? Let me ask you guys, do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ. What a response, huh? Do you really believe you are the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ? Meaning Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He is the Messiah that they were prophesying. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And now I'm just going to read a lot quick here. 28, and we'll get down to 36. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly, came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And they say that's about 2 miles outside of town still. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that, Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So there's some Mary and Martha, their faith is pretty amazing right here. They're really like, Jesus, you are the Christ. Jesus, if you were here, my brother would still be living, right? Lots of other people may be doubting around him, like his own disciples. If you go back there, you're going to get stoned. We're all going to get stoned. We're all going to die, but we'll follow you anyway. But Mary and Martha are like, no, he is the Christ. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. All right, pause right there for just a second. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, he had some feelings and emotions going on right here. Listen to what it says. He groaned, verse 33, the end, in the spirit, and he was troubled. In verse 34, he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And in verse 35, it's the famous verse. Anybody know why verse 35 is the famous verse? What is it? But is it the shortest verse in the Bible? We'll go there in a minute. John 11:35, two words, Jesus wept. You know what? I love that my Savior wept, that he cried. You know, and you can look at scholars, there's all sorts of people saying all different things. Jesus was troubled, he was groaning, he wept over Lazarus. Some say he was weeping over the faithlessness of his own disciples. There's all sorts of things. But the fact of the matter is Jesus wept, right? So I can ask that question sometimes, does Jesus really care? And I'll tell you, he absolutely cares, right? Absolutely. Think about it. He had so much feelings for his disciples, for Mary and Martha, for Lazarus, that he wept. He groaned. He was troubled. That's pretty amazing to think about, that we have a God who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross with a plan to die for us. But Jesus lived like a man. He felt like a man. He had emotions like a man, just like us. He went through, and if you get it, really want to get into it, get into Hebrews chapter 4. He went through things just like we went through. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he wept. That's awesome to really think about. It really breaks you if you really ponder it. Verse 36, and the Jews said, "See how he loved him." They started marveling over the tears of Jesus. They even stepped back and they were like, "Wow, Jesus Christ really loved Lazarus. He really loved him." And Jesus wept with the thought, his feelings and his emotions, that Christ had died. Mary and Martha are crying. He's comforting them. Maybe his disciples are doubting, like, what is going on here and why are we here? We shouldn't be here. They're going to stone us any second and we're all going to die. There's a lot going on here, right? Verse 37, and some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" And verse 38, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. And I'll just end right there for this part. Go home, read the rest. You know it. If you don't know it, Cynthia will do a skit for us at Cabin Fever about Lazarus raising again, and we'll all laugh. But the point I want to make right here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he wept. I want you to just really contemplate and think about that, right? He cares about us so much. Not only that he died on a cross for our sins, but he lived like a man for us. And when Mary and Martha were crying that the brother had died, he groaned and he was troubled and he wept. What an awesome thought, right? Let's look at a couple quick slides. Oh, he's already ahead of me. This is awesome. So I just went online and I looked for some pictures, right? A picture's worth 1,000 words, they say. That means I got to talk less. So Jesus wept. All right, that's one. Let's go to the next one. So this is kind of like I'm just comforting people, right? I kind of love that picture. We had a picture painted at the old church of, like, it was Jesus, and you saw the face of Jesus, and he was embracing somebody. and all you saw was like the back of their head. And we used to think, and we had it like in the clouds with the dove. It was kind of amazing in the teen room. And the idea is like Jesus could be embracing you, right? And one more is just, I found this one with a tear, and I thought, man, this one's powerful. Like, just the thought, does Jesus really care? And I want to say to you, absolutely, Jesus really cares. He cares about you. He cares what's going on. He understands sometimes that we have anxiety, we have depression, we have doubt, we're troubled. He knows our heart better than we know our own heart. He meets us where we're at in those seasons of life. And Jesus wept, right? On your chair on the way in, I put a lot of tracks. I put two different tracks. But I just want to read the back of this. Let's jump to the next slide. And it says, I took this as a picture on my kitchen counter. And this is one of the tracks we just like to hand out. It's very simple. But I have found sometimes people hand out these tracks and they never read it for themselves. So I thought, what a time to read it so maybe we get a better understanding of what we're handing out at times. So just the back, God really cares for you. Jesus loves you deeply. However, the fact all have sinned separates us from God, still God cares for you. That's like saying while we were yet sinners, right? Romans. And he provides a way to share his love with you. Jesus Christ's love for man was so great that he came and died on a cross for all the sins of mankind. He shed his blood for you so that you could be forgiven and have eternal life. The only thing he requires of you is to come to him in simple faith, trusting his character and love for you, and accept him as your Savior. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'll end right there. But I encourage you, like, don't leave these on the seats. Grab all the ones around you. Stick them in your purse. Stick them in your car door. Stick them in your back pocket. I always keep this one in my back pocket. I hand these out like crazy. This is also on every other chair. It just says, you're invited. And on the back, it's a QR code to the website. It's so basic, so simple. Like, and I encourage you, do the same. And we're going to go there in a second, too. So let's jump to John chapter 4, and I think for the clock's sake, I was going to read a lot of this, but I don't think I'm going to. It says, a Samaritan woman meets her Messiah, and this is John chapter 4, and I'll read 3 and 4, and then we'll jump down and skip around a little bit. So Jesus leaves Judea, John chapter 4, verse 3. He left Judea. And he departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Now, this is the story of where Jesus meets the woman at the well, right? And it's kind of crazy because the Jews and the disciples would even challenge and question Jesus at time because they didn't want Jesus to go through Samaria. The Samaritans were like, ugh, like those people, like, we don't want to talk to them. We don't want to drink out of the same well they drink out of. We don't want to be around them, right? And the Jews kind of thought that way of the Samaritans. They thought lesser of the Samaritans, that, oh, we're better than them and we're greater than them. And this story of the woman at the well is quite remarkable. Again, thinking of Jesus like as, you know, as a man, and one of the first times he reveals himself as the Messiah, he purposefully maybe even goes out of his way to make sure he is at the well at the sixth hour. If you don't know what the sixth hour is, if you look it up, it's around 12 noon for them. That's midday. So for them, like, people don't go to the well at 12 noon because it's hot in that region. They went early or late, and they went in groups on purpose for safety reasons and to not be in the heat of the day. But here's Jesus. He goes to the well in the sixth hour of the day, and he meets the woman at the well. And he asks her, and I'm abbreviating here, you can read it. He asks her, can you give me a drink? And she kind of challenges him and questions him. And she says, The woman of Samaria, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, is verse 9, 10. Jesus said, if you know the gift of God and who it is, verse 10, who says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So there's kind of a dialogue going back and forth with her. She's like, you want me, a Samaritan, to give you, a Jew, like a drink of water? But we know that there's a greater story behind this, isn't there? Jesus was meeting that woman in the sixth hour, the heat of the day, but he was really meeting her right where she was at with her heart. And the story goes on, and he says, your husband, and she says, I don't have a husband. And he says, I know, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with right now is not your husband, right? What's he addressing right here? He's addressing her heart, right? He knows her life. He knows her mind. And he's meeting her right where she's at. I know your heart. I know what's going on. You are inside. You are hurting. You're mixed up. You're maybe confused. And you're questioning, like, why, right? But Jesus went out of his way to meet the woman at the well. You know what? Jesus will go out of his way to meet you wherever you are at in life. Let's skip down here. Let's stick with this story. And let's go to verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Isn't that awesome? You know what? Christ meets you right where you're at. And what he says is, the person you are looking for is standing right here before you. You don't even realize it. You are doubting it at this moment in your mind. But the Messiah is right on your side, looking at you in the face. He's meeting you right where you're at. 27, at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? Even his disciples were marveling that Jesus went out of his way to meet this woman at the well in Samaria of all places. They were questioning themselves, like, Jesus, what's going on here? And then if you can't read on, she runs away screaming, it's the Messiah. And they're like, you told her? Like, you haven't told anybody yet. And you told her, of all people, the first person that you're going to reveal yourself, wasn't like the Jews saying, I'm the king of the Jews. It was a Samaritan woman at the well. The story is pretty awesome to think. But you know what? Jesus met her. He went out of his way and he met her right where she was at. He even addressed the issues of her heart at that well. It wasn't about the water in the well. It was about Christ being living water and Christ meeting her right where she was at. And it was about the issues that she had in her heart and the things that were going on in her life. It wasn't really about that well. That well was just the meeting place for him to get her one-on-one and talk to her. You know what? And sometimes our one-on-one time, our prayer life, our, when you say you go to your closet in prayer, however you say it, your one-on-one time, that is when really Christ meets you where you're at and he pricks your heart and he speaks to you. And then we're like, wow, the Son of God, the Messiah, just met me where I'm at in my life. So we say that question, right? Does Jesus really care? Keep reading these stories. How many of these stories are in the gospel? We could make this a series and go on for a month about does Jesus really care and just share story after story after story. You can get even into the Old Testament and talk about where God met the various prophets and people and different things, and there's just endless stories. But the question still stands, does Jesus really care? And the answer is, absolutely he does. He cares for you. So we kind of picked on it earlier and we said, is Jesus wept the shortest verse? And in the English language, in the King James, New King James that we read, Jesus wept is the shortest verse, but it is not the shortest verse in the Greek, and it is by far not the shortest verse in the Hebrew because the Hebrew doesn't use vowels. If you want to know more, I'll fill that in later. I printed a whole thing on it so I could study it myself a little bit, but it's kind of interesting to think about. So I'm just going to rattle off a few verses and get us back going here. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this. 1 Samuel 16:7, New King James. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees. Let's say that again, right? For the Lord does not see as man sees. We live by sight so often, and we look at somebody and we judge them immediately by how they look and the clothes they wear and the sneakers they have on their feet. But that's not the way God looks at us, right? And we're not to live by sight. We're told this, live by faith, not by sight, right? But how does the Lord look? Let's read on. For man looks at the outward appearance, 1 Samuel 16:7. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You know what? When Jesus wept, he was meeting them right where they were at. His heart was with them, right? When Jesus met the woman at the well at the sixth hour, at the heat of the day, 12 noon, Jesus was meeting her right where she was at. We're looking at people on the outward and we got all these thoughts going on and we're missing it. We're missing it sometimes, right? We're missing what happened with them last night. What happened to them this past week at work, right? Sometimes we got to let the Spirit of God lead us and we want to look at the heart. We want to see things how God sees things. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So I got a quote for you, Billy Graham. I love Billy Graham quotes. I go find them and I save them. Sometimes I print them out for myself so I can keep them. So let's throw that on the screen. If you're a note taker, this was cool. It says this. Billy Graham, one of his quotes, we hurt people, right? We hurt people. We hurt people by being too busy to notice their needs, too busy to drop a note of comfort or an encouragement or assurance of love, too busy to listen when someone needs to talk, too busy to care. What a thought, right? I know, I'm that guy. I'm the too busy guy. Sometimes, a lot of times, I can be too busy. You know, I work full time. I worked yesterday in Albany for my job. I also am here with the teens all the time or doing our trips or whatever, doing special events, ski rally, marriage seminar. And sometimes I go home, it's like 10 o'clock at night and I'm ready to crash. And Rayma will come in my room and she just wants to talk. And I'm like, you know, half dead. I put my phone down, try to look her in the eyes, you know, the best I can, stay awake. And then after 20 minutes, I'm like, all right, you gotta let me go to sleep. I'm dying here. Like, I'm gonna fall asleep. But you know what? Sometimes we can be too busy to care. Wow, doesn't that like challenge you a little bit? I want to encourage you, be like Jesus was, right? Don't be so busy to care. Go out of your way to meet that woman at the well. Go out of your way to meet that person at the YMCA. Go out of your way to meet that person at the water cooler at work to talk to them or to have lunch with them. I had a guy 2 weeks ago, he said, hey, will you go out to lunch with me? I got something to talk about, right? I was like, yeah, let me schedule it. And we did. We actually scheduled it in both of our calendars to make sure it would happen, right? Go out of your way to be that person. Go out of your way to care. Why? because Jesus wept. Why? Because Jesus cares. Just a plug for a movie quick. We're getting close to Easter. Slide 8, The Passion of the Christ. And sometimes I use this. I preached a message in Montreal years ago. Right after this movie came out, we went and did like a blitz in Montreal. We took the teens. It was awesome. And I remember this movie, like, you know, I heard, my wife said the other day that he's working on a Passion 2 to take it to another step. So I haven't looked it up myself yet. But, you know, when I think of this movie, the thing that I think about the most when I think of this movie is the depths of the love of God, right? You can almost think about it in like a two-sided coin. Like one side, that movie is pretty gory. Who's seen that movie? Yeah, most of us. Maybe we're overdue. I own it. Maybe we'll show it for Easter. But it's a gory, pretty graphic movie. And that could be like one side of that coin, but you can turn that coin over and you can say, wow, God loves me that much. That much. That's pretty awesome to think that he loves me that much. I'm going to rattle off a bunch of verses for you really quick. Leviticus 19:18, Matthew 19:19, Galatians 5:14, James 2:8, and 11 places it says, 11 other places it says, love thy neighbor. Do you know that verse is Old Testament, New Testament? You can find it at least 11 times specifically about loving your neighbor. Now, if you want to expand the context, there's many, many, many more verses. But can you imagine Leviticus 19:18? Of all places in the Bible, Leviticus is kind of an interesting book. And it says, love your neighbor. We are called to care. We are called to care. Ephesians 4:29, we know the verse, but we're going to read the few verses after it. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I don't want to be the guy that has the corrupt words. I want to be the guy with grace words, right? What a challenge. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's pretty crazy. It's like saying, when you speak those corrupt words, you're pricking the heart of God by the Holy Spirit. That's pretty intense when you read about it in that context, right? Do not grieve the Holy, no corrupt communication. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, here's a challenge for us. Let all bitterness, all wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, be kind to one another. You are called, you are challenged to be kind to each other. But that's not just the people in this room. That means when you leave here and that guy cuts you off in the circle for the third time, you follow him to the gas station and give him a track, right? Instead, we're like, oh, beep, 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 right? No, let's be kind, not just to the people in this room, but to take these tracks and give them to everybody outside of the door of the church. That's really the challenge in our life. Let's go out of our way to meet that woman at the well, and let's let God meet them right where they're at in their heart. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Wow, what a challenge, right? God forgave me so much, the movie The Passion, that much that I'm to forgive other people and go out of my way to show them the kindness and the tenderheartedness of my Savior. 5:1-2 in Ephesians. Therefore, if you're reading New King James, it says imitators. If you're reading King James, it says followers. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. That word in the Greek, imitators, is mimetes. Imitators. It's mean I want my life to be just like Christ. That's what it's really trying to say. I look at Christ's life, that he met the woman at the well. I'm looking at Christ's life, and he wept when Mary and Martha wept over the death of Lazarus. And I want to be just like him in my life. That's an awesome challenge for us, isn't it? And walk in love, verse 2, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Bob, let's look at that one really quick in the Amplified. And we'll hit one more verse and we'll wrap this up. So Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 in the Amplified, and then I'm going to give you 5 points and we're going to wrap this up. Therefore, become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. That's like that little boy who sees his dad praying, and then you see the little boy praying, right? The little boy sees his dad, whatever, give his mom a hug, and the little boy goes and gives his mom a hug. That's the way they're saying that we should be like Christ. In verse 2, it says, walk continually in love, that is, value one another, practice empathy, compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others. This is the Amplified. Just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God, slain for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. What a challenge, right? What a challenge. So I ask, does Jesus really care? Absolutely. Jesus really cares. 5 quick points. 1, Jesus wept. If you're a note taker, Ben, I want to see this in your notebook. Jesus wept. 2, Jesus cares. 3, Jesus has compassion. 4, Jesus had tears. He was human. He lived like we lived. He experienced the emotions and the feelings. He had tears. Emotions, he was troubled, he groaned. 5, be like Jesus, right? Be such a follower and an imitator. And I like in my natural mind, I hate that word imitator because to me it says it's like that's another story day. But be like Jesus, right? So much so that you go out of your way to meet people where they're at. In Matthew 28, last slide, it's the Great Commission, and we are challenged in the Bible to go, right? Not to sit in our seat with our hands underneath of us in our pews and just, oh, that was a great Sunday morning service, Pastor, and that's it. But we are challenged when we leave this place to care about everybody on the other side of that door. That is really the challenge that Jesus gave us. Let's go back to John 11:35 and let's pray. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Right? Jesus wept. Does Jesus really care? Absolutely. Jesus cares about you and he loves you. And he meets us right where we're at in life. And then he challenges us to be just like him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these words. Father, let these words prick our hearts and prick our minds. Let them challenge us that we would be more like you. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, I just want to invite you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, know he loves you. He cares. He has compassion. He knows your heart and your mind. He meets you right where you're at in life, anxiety, depression, you're hurting, you're down and out. He meets you right where you're at. If you want him in your life, just ask him. In a simple prayer of faith, something like, say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, come into my life and live and make me a child of God. Jesus, by your Spirit, come into my life and make me a child of God. If you prayed that, you never prayed it before, reach out to us. We want to reach out to you. We want to talk to you. We want to give you a Bible. We want to encourage you in the love of God. Father, we praise you. We thank you. And we commit this to you. In Christ's name, amen. So we have communion. I'm sorry.